name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, this may seem rather heavy duty as we head into May Week, but I would like us to think for a few moments about suffering and courage and encouragement. It's because of a line in that first reading. When you hear Paul talking about suffering in terms of endurance and then character, as in character building, I suppose, and ultimately hope, what do you find yourself thinking? How does it make you feel? Especially if you're suffering in any way yourself just now. For Paul, clearly his Christian hope, his hope in the saving reality of Jesus, meant that he could indeed withstand the sufferings he was enduring. But when we listen to these words, we have to be quite careful in how we construe them, in how we apply them in our own lives when we're suffering, and especially in our conversations with others when they are suffering. To begin with, we have to remember that Paul is talking about the suffering that he is enduring because of his faith, and in particular, because of his missionary endeavors. His life after conversion was peppered with attacks and imprisonment, danger, persecution. His courage was extraordinary, but the suffering he's talking about is specific. It's the persecution he experiences because of the active living out of his faith. He has, you could even say, brought it on himself. So we have to be careful not to lift his words about his suffering out of context too quickly, too simplistically, just blithely use them to talk about any suffering. Or at least, if we do want to think about suffering in terms of endurance and Christian hope, we have to do so conscious of how we are now making an interpretive move. There's a difference between suffering because of your faith and suffering because someone you love has just died, or your lover has left you, or you've had a frightening diagnosis, or you're trying to deal with anxiety or depression. And secondly, if we do make that interpretive move, we need to be really sensitive in how we apply those ideas, by which I mean, are we addressing our own suffering, of whatever kind that might be, or are we addressing someone else's? So there's a really big difference between trying to steel yourself to what you're going through by hanging on to your foundational hope in Jesus and telling someone else to do that. A very particular version of this plays out in Martin Scorsese's 2016 film, Silence. The picture on your pew sheet is a still from it. You can see three people tied to crosses in the sea. It's set in 17th century Japan, where a vicious wave of persecution has engulfed the fledgling Christian communities there. The Jesuits had been so successful in their missionary expeditions, hundreds of thousands of converts, that in the end, the Japanese authorities, who've become rather more aggressive, the shogun, became very aggressive and repressive. Amongst their various cruelties, villagers who refused to apostatize, it's a big word in the film, or to renounce their faith, they were tied to crosses in the sea and left to die. In the film, which is based on a Japanese novel of 1966, two young Portuguese priests hear that their mentor, long established in Japan, has himself apostatized, and in disbelief, they go to find out what has happened. Now, their presence in Japan becomes known. It excites the attention of the authorities. And so they put the villagers that they're amongst, Christian villagers, in great danger. But the villagers, long deprived of priestly ministry, are eager for them to stay. And so this brings down on them the Japanese version of an inquisition. The first stage of the persecution is to demand that the villagers publicly apostatize. They're required to step on, to stand on, an image of Jesus. Those who refuse are tortured and killed. And the next stage is worse. One of the priests, captured along with some of the villagers, discovers that unless he himself, in front of them, apostatizes, even the villagers who have done that will still be put to death. It matters so much to them that he does it. It sets up this brilliantly horrible dilemma. I'm not going to tell you how it turns out. I'm not going to spoil it. If you haven't seen it, I strongly recommend you do. Those elements of the film, and then there are other, even bigger elements in it, they're powerful examples of a real ethical challenge. How do we respond to the suffering of others? How do we do empathetic encouragement without being sanctimonious or patronizing or invasively presumptuous? I was thinking about this when we were listening to Baroness Brinton last Sunday evening. I think a lot of people here were there then. She was talking about the strength she derives from her Christian faith as someone living with permanent disability. Incredibly powerful as she sat there in her wheelchair at the other end of the nave. She constantly faces practical challenges, let alone the ignorant malice of fellow parliamentarians talking in front of her about how disabled people don't need protection or extra protection from COVID because, quote, they're going to die early anyway. But she sat there and she talked with simple, passionate conviction about her faith in the sustaining love of Jesus. A sustaining hope. But if you'd met her for the first time and she was talking about what she had to endure, would you be telling her straight away that faith in Jesus would make all the difference? There are times when you hear sometimes the most wonderful and best known of Christian leaders, they start saying about or even to particularly groups of disabled people or others who are suffering, God has a special love for you. It does make my toes curl. So what do we say? Well, this is a moment where in the old days in exams it used to say show your workings. I don't know if it does that anymore. So this is me showing my workings a bit. In my pastoral role, I've had to think what to say in just such situations. And although I err on the side of caution and I try to resist doling out pious platitudes, there are times when I will venture more. What you are going through is unique to you, I might say, but I am remembering what I heard someone say, which might be interesting to hear. Then I can describe an example of how someone faced a strikingly similar situation, what they did or tried, which helped a bit. It's a bit like saying, look at that over there. It's possible that that could work here. But it can never be, what you need to do is, very rarely, because you have to be very careful not to do this, unless you really know you can. It might even be my own experience that I draw on. But never to say, I know how you're feeling, because I don't. A classic example of this will be where someone's trying to get past an experience of being badly treated, maybe really badly treated, and the idea of forgiveness comes up. It's never okay to say or even suggest to someone that they should forgive. Sometimes the idea kind of slides sideways into the conversation. And if it does, talking sensitively about examples of other people doing it can be helpful, might become part of the path to healing. When talking to someone who's going through a tough time, as long as we bear in mind all those caveats and health warnings, the moment may come when we can in fact talk about the love of God, the love of Jesus. If the moment is right, if the atmosphere allows, then that can be completely transforming. Or, much more often, we should just stick to empathetic listening. Let our actions speak louder than any words or ideas or convictions that we might have to offer. We might do better just to be the love of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.